to begin with, I just want to do a little bit of review from last week because I think that's always important. First and foremost, as Sasha's bringing it up, we explored the word hit lamdut itself. That the word hit lamdut comes from the hit pa'el, which is something reflexive. It's something that one does to oneself, which I find to be absolutely powerful, how there can be a difference between lomed, which is learning, which is purely cognitive, I would say, maybe even purely cerebral, and hit lamdut, which is something that is internalized. And that's to the distinction of something that you see as both either maybe purely cerebral or intellectual or cognitive, or something that you write off as meaningless or not for you at all. The process of hit lamdut is really being able to see some sort of opportunity for personal growth within it. And the first thing that we learned was through the Rambam, that the Rambam says, I can even look at Masechet Nagaim, I can even look at the tractate on leprosy and look at something which looks profoundly both archaic and arcane. You know, it is old and it is weird and it is foreign, and say, I can find something interesting to learn from here, which is why at the end of that perek, he has a whole long treatise on the Lashon Hara, on evil speech, on how not to gossip and how to be kind in our words, which brought us to the teaching of Ben Zoma. And before we go back into Ben Zoma, one of the things that often a lot of us teachers would do at Hadar is to start with the Hebrew and go to the English. And there's really two reasons. One, I think to ground ourselves in the Hebrew is really important, even though it slows us down. And two, it gives you a kind of a second opportunity to read it, so that things are a little slower. And this is where we left off. This concept that, okay, yes, there anything I can read in Torah, I should be able to find some sort of personal access point that allows me to grow as an individual. That I will not write that off. And then that goes to the next level within a human being. It's not just the Torah, but it's every single human being. And I'm going to repeat what I did last time because there's one level that we didn't discuss. Ben Zoma Omer, Ezehu Chacham. Who is the Chacham? Chacham is a really hard thing to translate because in modern Hebrew it means smart person, but it really means wise. I've been waiting for somebody to write a book on the usage of the word Chacham to see why it's used as wise or smart, so I don't really know. But in this context, I feel confident it means wise. Halomed mikol adam, the one who learns from everybody. Right? In other words, the definition of wisdom is not having wisdom, but rather being a certain way. Another way of saying that is, right, somebody who is wise doesn't know a lot about the world here, but it's actually the ways that they move through the world are a reflection of their wisdom. They are in a state of being, or they have a disposition, which is that of learning from every single human being. Right, and Rabbi Ovadia from Bar Tanura, who is one of the most, if not the most famous commentator on the Mishnah, writes, Halomed mikol adam, right? The one who learns from every person, ve'af al pi shehu katan mimenu. And even though they, the other person they're learning from, is katan, is quote unquote smaller, lesser than them. And I don't think he's saying necessarily, although he might, that there is a hierarchy of people, but rather what he's saying is, there are people that in our minds we see as lesser than us, right? And what he does here, I think, is really interesting, which is he does not define what it means for somebody to be lesser than us. But he says, anybody who we might think is lesser than us, right, we have a tendency to write them off. Or we have something that holds us back from learning from them. And he says, shekeivan she'enu chas al kvodo, since they are not concerned about their inner dignity, right? Then they're not concerned over the dignity. I walk through the world and the thing that I am constantly thinking is, does this person give me the validation that I so desperately want? Right? I'm so concerned over that I'm not willing to learn from somebody. Right? Right? And therefore I can learn from even people who are lesser than me. It becomes recognized that their wisdom is actually for the sake of heaven. Meaning to say, right, so often when we are searching for wisdom, we are really just searching for ourselves. So often when we are searching for wisdom, we're just looking for ways to cope with the world or maybe even transcend the world. Right? Maybe there is something inside you that says, I need to be more perfect. And that's the reason I'm becoming wise. And he says, no, 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 no. The real means for wisdom, or the real basis for wisdom, is when you recognize that it's not about you, it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's about the Holy One, right? And what's interesting there is only through the quieting of the self and the ego, only through the moments where I actually recognize this may not be about me, can I learn from another person? As long as it's about me, and I put that as my focus, it's going to be really hard to learn from another person. And I think that's the move that he's making here. I have to shift from pride over the self to l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven, v'lo lihicheher l'itba'erba, and not something with which I can gain glory and splendor. Right? Rabbi Heschel says, one of my favorite quotes of his, he says, it is actually harder to pray than to learn. It's harder to pray than to learn. And he says, when I am learning, it might look really good. If I'm a smart person, if I'm quick at the word, when I'm in class, when I'm in shiur, everybody can look at me and say, wow, look how brilliant that guy is. That's actually easy, right? So there are certain things in the world that if you're already good at it, of course you're attracted to it. Why? Because everybody's going to recognize you for that thing. And he says it's harder to pray because prayer is a reminder that it's not about you. Right? It's not something, it's not something that you can have glory and splendor. Right? And Rav Ovadia adds in the next thing, which is not from the Alei Shor, but I just find this to be so radically beautiful. He says, right, Shenemar mikol ma'am dai hiskalti, the quote, the proof, is that from all my teachers I became wise, or I became, this here has an understanding, I've become enlightened. The Seifa Dikra, the end of the verse, is ki edotecha sichali, because your testimonies are a conversation to me. This is what I think he's saying. Every single thing in the world is a reflection and a testimony to God. There is not a single thing, if God's glory is infused in everything, and there is not a place where God is missing, as it says in Kabbalah, v'leita tar panui mine, there is no place that is empty of God. If there's no place that is empty of God, then everything is a testimony of God because everything is a reflection of God's work. And what he says here, I think is actually so beautiful. He says, right, klomar, hayiti lomed Torah mikol lemelamdai, right? Therefore, if everything is a testimony, I'm going to learn from everybody, v'afilu min haktanim, meni, even those who are less than me, v'lo hayiti choshesh l'kodi, and I wouldn't be concerned of my stature. Right. One of the ways in which I can move differently through the world, and by the way, this is so incredibly hard. It's so deeply hard to remind myself over and over that there is divinity and dignity in everything, no matter what it is. Right? But when I can do that, it actually reminds me that I'm not the only thing in the world. If I'm concerned with my own dignity, it's because I've forgotten about the other person's dignity. When I actually see us being equally dignified, right, there's a little ability for me to let go. Why? Ki edotecha sichali. Because I'm seeing the testimony to God, shekol kavanati hayta l'shamayim bivad, because my entire goal is for dignifying the world, right? And we're gonna learn this piece from the Rashab, Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm. Rav Simcha Zissel was, from my understanding, although I could be wrong on this, the primary student of Rav Yisrael Salanter, Rav Yisrael Lipkin, who starts the Muslim movement in the early 1800s in Lithuania. He is responsible for the modern Musar movement. The word Musar existed all the way back to the Bible. It says explicitly, Musar Avicha, the discipline of your father. And he uses that language to start a new movement of the Musar movement. And the Rashaz, Rav Simcha Zissel, says the following. Kol adam sheyesh lo chush be'eza davar. Anybody who has a certain sense in a certain thing, yargish me'od, will really feel it. Sheyireh davar ma mizeh ha'inyan. Whenever he sees something in that category. So if I go through the world and I am particularly aligned with a certain type of thing, I'm always looking out for that. And he gives examples. Lemashal, chayat, shero'eh adam, a tailor that sees a person, yabi tekef al begadav, right, will immediately, tekef, see their clothing. And I love this language of tekef. We do this immediately, we do this naturally. right? So when I go to a class, the things that I'm looking for are pedagogy, right? And I do it automatically. Sandlar, almina lav shalploni. If somebody makes sandals, we'll look at the sandals of a person. Tofer kovaim, a hat maker. Al kovao shalploni, on the hat of another person. Vekein socher memischaro, and so to a merchant in their business, right? Yargish meod bedibur o maaseh. Right, will be very sensitive to speech or actions, that will become a benefit for him in his business. Right, this is just the way that we walk through the world. Right, and it might just be the thing that we were last thinking about. Right, whatever book you are reading right now might actually be the prism through which you see the world. Right, your job will be the prism through which you see your world. Your relationships and the way that you want them will be the prism through which you see the world. And he says, "Masha ein ken ish acher," but that's not the case for other people. Lo yishma v'lo yireh haniskar lemala. They're not going to even hear or see those things. I find this to be an incredibly beautiful reminder to myself that the things that I am passionate about, including Torah, may not be the things that everybody is readily interested in. And I forget that so quickly, right? Because their heart isn't given over. Directed over here. Given over, I think, is a little more literal translation, right? To seek and investigate things like this. Because he has no desire in them, right? This is the way we walk through the world. In our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Holy One, Blessed Be God, of the name Blessed Be, Hashem Yitbarach, Mi sheyesh lo yirat Elokim, somebody who has fear of God or awe of God, right? Lemashal, for example, Lishmor et hadvarim apshutim abavurim b'Shulchan Aruch, right? To guard and keep all of the simple things that are clearly stated in the Shulchan Aruch, a legal code written in the late 1400s. Yilamen mizotok shuro e'otam etzlo, right? This is, for me, one thing that the Alei Shor does incredibly well. He is willing to criticize everybody. And he says, even the person who is so perfectly or purely dedicated to halacha, they are willing to look around and they say, look at that shmo over there. Look at that shmo over there. They're not putting on tefillin right. Or look at that shmo over there who is davening so beautifully. Maybe I can get better. I'm going to go and ask that person, how can I infuse more kavana? But he says something interesting. This is not the case for the things that he's not used to. In other words, when we learn, I'm sorry, the way that we walk through the world teaches us to see certain things. The way that we walk through the world teaches us to see certain things that even somebody who is so deeply passionate about halacha has a really hard time seeing things that are outside of that category. And we talked last week about the fact that becoming a better human being is not explicitly mandated in the Torah. Right? Lo hu gabahem. It's just not accustomed to it. Kamo, he writes, ahavat habriyot, the love of all of God's creations. If I read through the Shulchan Aruch, I'm not going to see laws that say, love everybody no matter who they are. And then I forget to do that because what's the thing that my mind is accustomed to do? The thing my mind is accustomed to do is focus on, you know, how somebody is keeping kashrut, right? Or gmilut chasadim, or how people are giving charity, or b'ma'aseh, or b'dibur, or their actions, or their speech. Or noseh be'ol im chavero, or carrying the burden of a friend, or limnoa hezek merabim, right? Or to prevent harm, right? That happens to the people in public. Kol zeh im hu ein lo hergesh be'ela. All of this is he has no sensitivity to this. He's not going to understand li lamen mizulato. He's not going to understand how to learn, but not just learn, but to this self-oriented growth which is actually externally oriented. It's I am growing, but again, not for me, but for the sake of the world at large or for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Because again, if I have my dignity or my persona or my image or my identity at stake, I might hold on to that a little bit. And it's so hard to let that go. We love our identities. And I think this becomes true, especially as we get older, that we become, as it says, I think elsewhere in the Pirkei Avot, we are as if we are a paper that has etchings all over it and there's just erased constantly. Whereas when you're a youth, you're a blank page. It becomes even harder. And he says, "Im ken halomen mikol adam, harehu socher gadol." Right, the person who learns from everybody, behold, they are a great merchant. Mischaro bechol mashallah. Right, they are a merchant in everything. Al kein yavin lihlamen mizlato. Right, if I can see everything actually as a vehicle for me to grow, then I'm a person who is wise, which is in the inverse is also the case. I am not wise if I look at something and I write it off, right? Which means we now have two different understandings of wisdom, right? One understanding of wisdom is I'm willing to let go of my dignity or my persona or my identity, right? In order to, I don't know, ask that question or learn a new skill. Right? Or maybe even learn from somebody who I believe is morally lesser than me or younger than me, or maybe even a dog or a cat. Right? That's one level. And then what the Rashaz, Rebbe Simcha Zissel, is adding here is that not only does my dignity get in the way, but my preconditioned ways of walking through the world causes me to forget. Causes me to forget that, yes, even that thing that I have written off, maybe even subconsciously, I can learn from too. All right. It is so profoundly challenging. Thank you.